Hi, everyone, and thank you for joining part two of our podcast series titled Thriving Amid Tariff Uncertainty. In this podcast, we will continue the discussion on midterm strategies and will conclude with longer-term considerations for your businesses. So maybe now let's shift our attention to the cost takeout that we know is the kind of the second arm here. So we knew heading into the fiscal year 25 that profitability was a top three strategy for most consumer and retail companies coming out of COVID and in the e-commerce environment. Now with this additional layer of impacts of the tariffs, it's kind of like a double whammy. So John, maybe let me bring you in now and let me ask you the question. Based on everything that we know, the headwinds that that our sector is facing, walk me through the thought process of the CFO right now.
Yeah, as we turn our attention to cost, the CFOs are realizing a few key points. First is that cost takeout must be strategic, not reactive. Because across the board costs, everyone knows, and the CFO knows and the business knows, that actually hurts long-term competitiveness. Now, to the latter, in this environment right now, there are some companies that short-term survival is paramount. And there are cost takeout decisions that are needed for today that they know are risk on long-term competitors. So companies are sort of in two different positions relative to their financial position in this environment. The second one is the need to accelerate from static to dynamic cost models. So we've known for many years, and we have been for many years, especially since COVID, most companies are developing more dynamic cost modeling capabilities via cloud and via AI. But the acceleration to that is happening even greater today. But one thing that we are talking about today in these dynamic cost models are trade-related adjustments. Traditionally, even in these cost models that wasn't really taking into account much from the past, as Irina and Sundar and Sudhi had referred to about, you know, the impact of tariffs are fairly low and stable. The third one is you know, forcing the need to revisit, reprioritize investments and refocus those primarily to ensure that there is resiliency factored in. So what we're seeing is that the level and how you factor resiliency into your longer term investments, they're sort of revisiting those and reprioritizing those. And of course, lastly, the big one, the biggest challenge is how do you protect the margin? How do you protect margin while managing stakeholder expectations? You know, the level of uncertainty is so great across the board. That's probably one of the biggest challenges that the CFO, and quite frankly, the commercial and the business is facing today, is how to manage stakeholder expectations, not just the critical part of your customer, your downstream customer, but also the shareholder, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, certainly it's driving just, you know, a ton of uncertainty in the market and what businesses can and cannot do. And I feel like I've seen the same thing, John, as a lot of CapEx has stopped, right? Maybe some hiring has halted a little bit to see what's really going to happen kind of the second half of the year. So maybe let's shift more on the policy side a little bit, John. So when we talk about tariffs kind of being used as a carrot, so to speak, how do you think companies should evaluate their total landed cost when there's the geopolitical risk, assessing their social, their sourcing agility, domestic capacity? If it's not greater now, if it's not greater weight now than labor arbitrage, like where do you see this going?
Yeah, this one's a good one because I think it's a question that a lot of companies are deferring on it, on understanding and sort of swallowing the pill. Traditional total landed cost model was built on predictability, right? We've talked about this: freight rates, lead time, labor costs, duties. That could all be modeled with reasonable accuracy. The environment is completely new now, where trade policy, port access, and material availability can change with a stroke of a pen, which is very different than, let's say, an act of God or COVID or some environmental factor. Tariffs have evolved from the static cost variable into dynamic instruments of foreign policy. this is going to force and for companies to accept that procurement supply chain teams need to evaluate policy risk and disruption probability alongside financial cost. But for example, a product sourced from Southeast Asia might be cheaper today, but if it's reliant on Chinese subcomponents, is it truly low risk? So this question reframes cost modeling from purely financial to strategic resilience modeling going forward. And so some of the questions that companies and the executive teams need to start asking and supply chain leaders: what's the cost of disruption? What's the time to recovery? What value should be placed on optionality and near market production? Some of those questions people started to ask because of COVID, but that optionality and near market production has really come into play. Companies now face trade-offs that will pit long-term agility and national compliance against short-term cost savings. So this is really no longer just a sourcing issue. It is a board-level conversation about supply chain as a competitive advantage or as a liability.
It's first and foremost, right, on top of everybody's mind. And if anything, I think it's put a mirror in front of a lot of businesses' face going, we're not as agile as we thought. And if something like this happens, how can we shift quickly? And that kind of brings me to another policy point, John, as the U.S. trade policy shifts towards a more protectionist measure, do you think we're witnessing the irreversible fragmentation of global supply chains, right? Or do we think this is a temporary realignment before this new global equilibrium emerges and whatever that looks like?
Yeah, so again, I think this is the other one where companies need to start thinking about what reality is starting to look like going forward. It gets to the heart of the current trade environment uncertainty that we all have talked about that word uncertainty over the last 4 or 5 months. Since the U.S.-China trade war began, really in 2018, companies have already been forced to reconsider resiliency and geographic diversity of supply chains. The pandemic and now the continued tariff escalations, it's just intensified that pressure. We have been seeing a shift towards regionalization that also got exemplified by North America reshoring under USMCA, Asia firms having actually moved production out of China to regional locations in Vietnam, India, and Mexico. But the real tension lies in whether this is a permanent strategic decoupling or just hedging a strategy to buy time. In a way, it's really forcing multinationals to really rethink what global means. There's some big questions that companies are really need to be asking is, are we looking at a future of regional supply webs? Where North America, Europe, Asia Pacific are building semi-independent production ecosystems? Or will new trade alliances eventually replace the U.S.-China partnership? Will there be sort of new centers of gravities being created? So the question does, it definitely challenges supply chain leaders just to think beyond logistics to geopolitics, geopolitics, also energy security and workforce dynamics, which is another big role of this.
Yeah. And John, maybe my last question, in the early 1980s, we really in America really started shifting to wanting low cost products. Right. Hence the globalization to China. Do you think as a result of this, the trade uncertainty, that the end of the global low cost sourcing is over? And if so, where do you think the procurement leaders go? Do we pivot from a cost based sourcing to more of a value based procurement strategy?
Yeah, so that this gets back on this this long standard doctrine of lowest cost country sourcing, which again has dominated procurement supply chain strategy for decades, and quite frankly, it's dominated for all of us that are on this call and might be listening to this in our careers. But now a tariff's acting as a sort of this, a dynamic financial penalty and geopolitical risk that amplifies these disruptions. What was once cheaper on paper might be far more expensive in reality. So procurement leaders, they're really being forced to reassess priorities. Is it time to stop measuring procurement success solely by unit cost reductions? Should we be evaluating value? And this gets back to Sundar's comment about sort of the value chain, right? Is evaluating value based on total risk-adjusted cost, supply continuity, compliance alignment, and even ESG alignment. This shift is fundamentally changing procurement today and supply chain. In a procurement role, procurement leaders and those procurement organizations, they're needing to migrate from the transactional gatekeeper to the strategic risk manager. And then that invites the big question, what tools, data, decision frameworks do procurement organizations and supply chain organizations need to evolve into in this sort of next generation role that's underway right now?
Yeah, thanks, John. And Sundar, maybe that brings me to you when we talk about Dagger integrity, data strategy, that we're saying companies can be only as nimble and agile to the extent they've got good data. So maybe let me hear from you real quickly of what we're saying.
Sure, Heather. So in terms of the data that we find most useful in this is actually a lot of the discussions that you had with Irina up front, right? It is being able to model quickly the impact of tariffs using a couple of sources. One is if you are an importer, you've got your ACE data from customs, and being able to layer in the impacts of the various tariffs that Irina talked about, whether it's based on country, based on product, based on materials in the product, very quickly is important if you're a direct importer, and there you can have a lot of confidence. However, what we found is even if you're not the direct importer of record, if you are a retailer and you're importing from suppliers who are giving you product domestically, but they themselves are importing that product, that retailer can leverage a lot of the data that they have on either products they source for private label products, or they can do should cost modeling to estimate, how much of these products potentially have steel and aluminum. They can look at the country of origin, where they come from, and come up with an estimated tariff impact on their domestic suppliers, so they can do a better job of negotiating what the tariff impact is and minimize cost increases and make sure that both parties are sharing in the cost increases.
I know you mentioned regionalization that supply chain is considering. And this question may seem obvious, but why is it important for companies to diversify their supply chains in response to the tariff landscapes? And the reason why I'm asking is I know there were some companies that did diversify during the first Trump administration, but do you think we will see more? And then for those that already did it, what else are they thinking about?
Yeah, it's a good question. It gets back to that earlier discussion on sort of the fragmentation of global supply chain. And, regionalization just fundamentally is about, getting things closer, and there's many opportunities and reasons why to do that. And companies have already begun to move down that pace or that path again. Again, we go back and we look at some of the prior administration changes from 2018. But we also look at what happened at COVID. COVID by itself just made companies rethink about, sort of regionalizations. When we think about diversification, that's really about staying agile. And I think a big part of this is, when the 2018 changes happen on tariffs, it's like, okay, that's probably going to happen. We've got another 20 or 30 years before we do anything around tariffs again. When COVID happened, most people would thought that something like a global pandemic would never happen. There's a lot of companies in the risk assessment models never considered that. But once we got out of COVID, there was sort of a sense of relief, like, okay, that's happened, and we've got, probably many more decades before we have to think about dealing with another situation. But right on the heels of that, here we go again. So, diversification, It's paramount now. It's about being agile. Single region over dependence carries similar risk to country dependency. So that's a key point that companies really need to think about if they're not doing diversification. Tariffs and sanction volatility make geographic hedging a must. I key on this one because, again, we go back to how long NAFTA was in place before that was rewritten and changed in 2018 to USMCA, and of course, sort of that's coming back again. So this is a bit of what we should plan, that is something's going to continue to happen from a geopolitical standpoint. So geographic hedging is a must today. This isn't just worry about today and tomorrow. But diversification is that also is going to enhance negotiation leverage with credible alternatives. So part of this is there is some positive approaches now in the future. When you look at regionalization, and we talked about maybe the movements of center of gravity or different pockets, that actually creates some negotiation leverage of the future. We're most likely going to see various investments in capabilities and competencies for manufacturing around the world that actually creates some positive alternatives to think about in the future. Might not be available today, but it will be in the future. And lastly, we talk about this is resiliency definitely now carries a premium at the end of the day. And so that again ties back into some of the land of cost modeling we discussed early as well.
Companies grappling with trying to find the alternative materials or components that could be subject, to lower tariffs.
Yeah, so Heather, I guess if I think about that question, there is a way to think about it in the near term versus the longer term. So in the near term, as we've dealt with changing tariff landscape, changing rates on countries of origin and on materials, there aren't a lot of great options in the near term other than leveraging networks of suppliers to find, tier two suppliers, alternate suppliers, with the known trade-off that you'll have to pay a higher cost, or it might take longer, or you might get smaller quantities to get those inputs that are being tariffed at a higher rate. In the medium and long term, there is an opportunity, depending on the categories, for companies to re-engineer their products so they're less reliant on those materials that they anticipate to be tariffed at a higher rate, or to engineer out materials that are only available in countries that they expect to have higher tariffs. But that takes time because it involves, in some cases, R&D, in some cases, product development. So you're talking several months, potentially more than 12 months to do that. So that's where a lot of companies and clients that we work with are holding off on that until they get a bit more clarity on what at least the medium-term outlook is on the tariff landscape.
Well, Sundar, that's perfect as we transition into some of the long-term considerations that we're seeing. And I think you hit the nail on the head when we talk about the uncertainty, and there's a lot of unknowns around what's going to happen in the long term. And I think a phrase that I think we all continue to hear from companies that has been highlighted as a result of the impact of the tariffs is around, we need to be more agile and we need to be more resilient, right? As the geopolitical and the kind of the global landscape, starts to transform into the kind of new world. So, Irina, maybe what I'll do is we talked about at the beginning about short-term, right, and near-term strategies. But once we start implementing these, I'm curious as we kind of come back to you in trade and customs, how do you now align with the supply change, right? And the product mix change? Does it ultimately kind of come full circle?
At the beginning, I mentioned developing your tariff mitigation strategy. That's not a one-time thing. It's continuously changing. And we are working with our supply chain colleagues. I work with Sundar all the time on a number of projects. And it is, as companies think about supply chain changes, as they in the long term maybe think about manufacturing changes, that affects what we're doing on the trade and duty side. So we may have implemented some things from a savings perspective that may still stay in place, right? Based on the different supply chain changes that are being set up. However, with some of these changes, we may need to implement additional savings opportunities. So the important piece here is really staying close and having that really direct interplay with supply chain and your trade colleagues to make sure you're having a holistic approach and incorporating some others as well, let's say from the tax side, procurement, and all the other sort of functions that we've talked about, and continuously changing your strategy to keep up with any supply chain changes that may be, in effect or may be good to put in effect going forward.
Yeah, it's interesting. In my 20 years, with the firm, I don't know if I've ever seen a singular thing have this much of an impact to the broader business. And really thinking through, right? You can't do things in isolation because if you do something, we're going to miss something. That was great. Thank you so much, Irina. So finally, Sundar, let's close with this last question for kind of long-term planning as we start to think about this. In this volatile global trade environment with the fluctuating tariffs, how are companies considering long-term planning with this uncertainty?
Great question. So when we work with companies, what we're seeing is that it really starts with a company's ambition for their core products. So having a point of view from a long-range plan on how they expect customer demand to impact the volume and the mix of products going out 3 to 5 years is a starting point. With that strategy of what they expect demand to be for product and the mix of products, then it's an exercise of understanding at a country of origin level a couple of things. Number one, what is the geopolitical impact in a given country of trends that we're seeing? And when we talk about geopolitical considerations, we're talking a couple of factors, including rule of law, potential for geopolitical conflict or stability, and the strength of institutions. Those are considerations that we think are most relevant when looking at geopolitical factors at a country of origin level. The second category that we think is important when you think about long-range planning and sourcing from a given country is on thinking through the capabilities for a country to produce a range of products and a range of products that a company is planning. And when we talk about capabilities, we're talking both about infrastructure, logistics to be able to transport goods, both on in the country and to port and ship. But we also think about labor, skilled labor, factories. So we're thinking both about human capital and we're thinking about production capital and infrastructure to transport. So that's kind of the second big area of capabilities. And then the last factor, we come back to what John referenced, which is fully landed cost, which is what is the cost to produce in a given country and to land it in the United States, inclusive of freight expense and expected tariffs. And this is where you can't just have one plug-in value there, like you might have for decades. You have to consider scenarios of varying rates of tariffs and run the analysis that combines the geopolitical risk, that combines the capabilities that you can get from any given country and how much quantity you'll be able to produce with a range of landed costs that varies the rates on tariffs to give you a roadmap that says, here is a range of percentages of what we could import from various countries, and how does that impact our cost and ultimately our profitability as an enterprise?
You just made me want to ask 10 more questions, Sundar, but unfortunately, I know we're out of time today, and I just want to thank our speakers and my friends today that had this great discussion and shared their invaluable insights on this topic. So I know it's been our near and dear to our hearts since, you know, since April that we've been navigating this. But if you, the listener, would like to learn more on this topic, feel free to contact any of us or visit our website provided with the podcast. We loved having you. Hopefully we'll see you again soon. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.